A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will do as I command. Then I will ask the Father to send you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. The Spirit will show you what is true. The people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see the Spirit or know the Spirit. But you know the Spirit who is with you and will keep on living in you. I won't leave you like orphans. I'll come back to you. In a little while, the people of this world won't be able to see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live. Then you will know that I am one with the Father. You will know that you are one with me, and I am one with you. If you love me, you will do what I have said, and my Abba God will love you. I will also love you and show you what I am like." The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus the Christ.
Excuse me. So it appears that we don't have munchkins under about this high. Well, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just going to talk to all of us today in terms of getting a sense as we approach Pentecost of what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples. I know Alice spoke to you last week about the farewell discourse in John's Gospel. And in that farewell discourse, Jesus is telling his disciples what to expect, that he's going to be gone, that he is going to be arrested and killed, and what to expect. And of course, they don't want to hear any of that. And at the same time, he's trying to reassure them. So even though we're not going to amplify this, I want to ask you to spontaneously give me some definitions of an advocate. What's an advocate? Someone who looks out for you?
Supporter.
A supporter?
Helps you.
Someone who helps you? What else?
Agent.
An agent?
Someone who speaks up on your behalf.
Someone who speaks up on your behalf. Okay. So in the gospel, Jesus says, "I will send you another advocate." So obviously, Jesus is claiming advocacy for himself, that he has been an advocate for them and has stuck up for them and been there for them and is a guide and a counselor. And so when we look at what an advocate is and does, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come and is going to be an advocate for you in my absence. So I ask you to pass your little yellow pieces of paper forward. You don't have to do anything like a basket or anything. Just pass them hand to hand, and Ralph will end up with some, and Nathan will end up with some. And there's lots coming forward. This is all good. There you go. There you go. Oh, Ralph, you're the keeper. All right. Oh, thanks, Nathan. I appreciate it. And eventually I might have you read some of these, so, you know. We'll see whether people wrote them legibly or not.
That wasn't a condition.
That wasn't a condition, right. So I want you to give a little bit of thought, no matter your age or stage in life, You know, we all are taught that we need to keep our responsibilities and bear our burdens and be responsible and not let things get us down. But sometimes things are too heavy. And sometimes, if I'm speaking for myself, and my husband's going to be very, very quiet, not only do I not put down what's heavy, but I don't stop either. And we all know what that's like, right? To carry on, because that's what we were taught to do. So I read an interesting story by George Smea. He said, in today's gospel, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit an advocate. But this word could just as easily be translated a comforter or a counselor or a companion. The Holy Spirit is notoriously difficult to name. This became clear when a group of European scholars attempted to translate the New Testament into care, K-A-R-E, the language of a small isolated tribe in Equatorial Africa. In the care language, there was no word for advocate. But the translators noted something in the life of the tribe. When a group would go out for a long journey, each member would carry a bundle of provisions on his or her head. And we've all seen the pictures, of things, of people walking through with something on their head, right? I've always thought, oh my gosh, how in the world do they do that? Yeah. And they obviously have trained for it since they were very small. So one person, however, carried nothing. This person had a particular job. If any member of the group fell down with exhaustion, this person would fall down next to the incapacitated person and take up the burden. In the care language, this person was called the one who falls down beside us. The scholars decided to use this word to name the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who falls down beside us to take up the burdens we can no longer carry on our own. The Holy Spirit is God's presence walking with us on the journey of life. God's strength's always waiting to pick up our burden when our own strength is gone. So whether you are 2 years old or 82, 92, 102, we all have times when the burdens are very heavy. And so I'm going to ask, Nathan might read some words for me. Would Casey or Sid be willing to read a couple words for me? Please?
Pretty please?
So come on up here.
Test tip.
I'm just going to stand here. So, thank you. We're just going to pass this back and forth because we know what one person may find to be very much suffering. Another person may be able to bear just fine, right? So we're just going to take turns reading these little guys, and we'll just say if it's a burden or a comfort. And if you'll stand in the middle and let the microphone go between you two. So a comfort is grandkids. So who would think of grandkids being the Holy Spirit's presence? And they are.
Comfort is, can you read that word?
God.
Comfort is God's love.
Okay.
A burden is feeling like I have to be a certain way.
Mm. A burden is weeds in my garden. I get that.
A burden is my pain.
Comfort is my family.
A burden might be my family.
Comfort or a burden might be all my relationships.
Mm.
A burden is incompetence.
A burden is unemployment.
A comfort or a burden is health.
A comfort is sleep.
A burden is pain.
A burden is bad health.
A burden is fear and sadness.
A comfort is community.
A comfort is children.
A comfort is family.
I don't know if this is a comfort or a burden, a new truck.
Could go either way.
A burden is oppression.
A burden is expectations.
Burden, no, it's a comfort of nature. Could be a burden also with the hail that's come.
A burden is more loud noise.
A comfort is seeing my family finally have peace.
A burden or a comfort is electronics.
Comfort is value.
We are? Yep. Just kind of tell me you need some more. Family.
A comfort is sleep.
A comfort is home, a loving wife, a family, and a small prayer, faithful community, and great friends.
A comfort's knowing the Holy Spirit.
A burden is illness.
A comfort or burden is patience.
A burden is not remembering the gay community.
A comfort is sleeping.
A burden or comfort is mountains.
A comfort is Church of the Beloved as a welcoming people.
A burden is keeping an open mind.
A burden is patience.
A burden is unacceptance of LGBTQ people in some churches.
A comfort is food.
A burden is shutting people out.
Okay. So let's just pause for just a minute because we've heard that whole litany of what might be a comfort and what might be a burden. And knowing that the Holy Spirit is near us and with us and that comfort comes in lots of ways. It doesn't have to be a particular something. And that the Holy Spirit comes in tangible ways, comes in air like what the air that's circulating in here, comes as the wind, comes as fire, comes as peace. And so I challenge us all when we are burdened to be both willing to set down our burden and maybe sit down ourselves, and then also to be the one who lays down next to the one who's exhausted. And I know you have all been that person. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for when you guys are next to the person in your school and your team in your neighborhood who needs that company. Thank you. Thank you for being willing, even slightly unwilling. It's good.
Twisting your arm.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I have a little song that I'm going to try to sing, and then I'm going to invite you to sing along. And we're mostly just going to sing the chorus. And did we look up what number it is? We did not. Let me look it up.
It's entitled, I Will Rest in You. If you can look in your songbook.
2 seconds.
Oh, okay. Who's going to be first?
I will. 451.
451. I will rest in you.
It's got a little calypso beat, so if you need to stand up and dance, you can.
Rest.
Time of year, I know that, especially with families, and claim some rest for yourselves. Claim some rest. So, let us stand and profess our faith. Wrong book.